At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So here's Mahomes. What's he got left? Pressure again. Decked. Ball is out. And the Eagles have it. Milton Williams with a strip sack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You know, I've seen a lot of bitching and moaning about yesterday's Super Bowl, and I think y'all are crazy. From start to finish, except for at halftime, that Super Bowl rule. E-I-G-L-E-S, Eagles, smoke. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, 40-22, and Joe George, there will be no three-peat in Kansas City this year.
No, there will not be. That was a straight-up ass-kicking.
Bam!
From start to finish.
Pow, right in the kisser. Pow, right in the kisser. Pow, right in the kisser.
I mean, they didn't cross the 50-yard line until the third quarter.
It's 40-8 with 8 minutes left.
I think we all picked the Chiefs. I know we did.
Yep.
That game was, I feel like everything people have been saying about the Chiefs for the last 2 years of why they were going to lose playoff games showed up in one game last night. I just feel like everything that people have wanted to say about the Chiefs finally came true. They just got crushed. Philadelphia, Vic Fangio didn't blitz a single guy the entire game.
Yeah.
What a game plan. I mean, it was, they annihilated him from start to finish. It was a incredible performance by the Eagles.
There's a lot of really annoying sayings about championships in the Super Bowl. One of them is that defense wins championships, which was proven true last night.
Mm-hmm.
The other, if you can get to the quarterback with just four guys, you've got a great chance at winning. And the Eagles did that. I know it was a blowout. I know for some people you were sitting there and you were perhaps bored out of your mind, but this is a win. This is huge for all of us.
For all of us. Specifically you.
First off, no, I'm not going to get there yet. Okay. That's actually not at the top of the list, Joe. It is ultimately about me, but we'll get there eventually. Number one, this might be the closest a Houston quarterback ever gets to winning a Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl MVP. Channelview High's own Jalen Hurts is a Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl MVP. And I think, just let's be honest about the Houston Texans, I think that this might merit a parade. I don't know how many people show up.
I was going to say a banner.
I don't know if it's going to be low energy like the Astros parades have been. The partying after the second Astros championship in downtown Houston was very fun. But I feel like that's the biggest thing that happened. Technically, a Houston quarterback won a Super Bowl. Boom.
I mean, look, he's going to get a parade here in town, I would imagine.
I don't think he will.
They'll do something for him.
They will probably give him the key to the city or something like that.
He could have the parade in Channelview.
Well, yeah,
I don't think he's going to do downtown.
That's true. A Channelview parade. I don't even know what that would look like. But people would enjoy it, that's for sure. He's going to get celebrated here. He should. Second round pick, benched in a national championship game to this. Like now, unquestioned top five quarterback in the NFL.
Are we doing that again? I don't know if we're going to go back there. We did that after they did that after they got to the first Super Bowl, and then we looked at him, and look, he's top 10. There's no denying he's top 10.
He's the first quarterback to win a Super Bowl. That's the first quarterback drafted to win a Super Bowl since Patrick Mahomes was drafted. Not a single quarterback selected has won a Super Bowl since Mahomes has been drafted into the NFL besides Mahomes or Brady, and now it's Jalen Hurts. Like not Josh Allen, not Joe Burrow, not any of these guys. It's Jalen Hurts. He's the only one to win a Super Bowl like that. It's incredible, like what he did in this game too, because it wasn't just his arm; it was his legs. He played a perfect football game.
He really did play well in this one. I still don't know about putting him in the top five quarterback conversation, but he did play great, and he is a part of an Eagles team that's really good. The other thing, this is a win for all of us. We got to see Patrick Mahomes get his ass kicked. We all wanted to see that in that game in the divisional round of the playoffs. We all wanted to see the Bills do it too. Didn't happen.
He was on the ground a lot, sacked five times.
I thought his arm fell off his body on that last sack that we came into the show with.
Yeah, and they could have caught a penalty on that. I'm glad they didn't, because he got hit right in the face. But he was just getting lit up the entire game. Even the people I saw today, Paul, are trying to, like, maybe he was concussed because, like, the first drive of the game, their first drive is an incomplete pass, but he hits his head pretty hard on the turf. And so it wasn't just when they sacked him. It's just the four guys who are going after him, like Sweat, Carter, Graham, like they were just doing whatever they wanted to against that offensive line.
It looked worse than the first game where we saw Mahomes struggle against the Buccaneers in that Super Bowl a couple of years ago. It actually looked worse. And also, I mean, just looking at the Chiefs' offense, Travis Kelce looked washed in this game. And it was really difficult for anyone to do anything except for Xavier Worthy in garbage time. So it's another reason to be happy. Also, the NFL's not rigged.
It's not rigged.
Oh, were you guys crying and whining about something that actually wasn't a big deal? The Eagles were the beneficiaries of the majority of calls in that game. And some are going to say, well, the NFL realized everyone was on to their gig. And they there's a lot of that crap online. Sorry. Look, refs make bad calls. The refs made two bad calls against the Chiefs in this game.
I mean, that first one was terrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
It was terrible.
Which penalty was that one?
The AJ Brown pass interference, I would say was bad. On the fourth down conversion.
Oh no, that was, I mean, the pass interference that AJ Brown had. I mean, he clearly hit the guy in the face twice.
I think so too. I think it's still like, you know,
that was where everyone started saying that the Super Bowl was rigged.
But then the next one that happened on Goddard,
the unnecessary roughness one to get when a chief defender came in at the last second.
Yeah,
that one was sus.
Very sus. But, yeah, look, I'm glad that narrative's dead. It is funny today because, like, seeing some Chiefs fans online, instead of talking about how their team just got demolished by the Philadelphia Eagles, they're resorting to, well, see, the league's not rigged. Like, that's all they have at this point. They're just trying to go back to that because they don't know how to handle an ass-kicking like that. Not that many people would, but they just got demolished. I'm glad that narrative's dead for now. It'll probably come back next year. When the Texans lose to the Chiefs in the first round of the playoffs, and then they beat the Bills in the second round of the playoffs and get back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and to bring it back to the Texans too, it's just one more reason that this is a win. The Texans would have had absolutely zero chance. If the Texans made it to that stage against that Eagles pass rush, that Texans offensive line, would C.J. Stroud be dead? Would Davis Mills also be dead? Would Case Keenum have had to play, even though we didn't see him all year? I don't know any other quarterbacks that might be out there.
Gerard Johnson?
Yeah. Do they have to put Gerard Johnson in a helmet in the fourth quarter or something like that? But this was the Super Bowl that I think a lot of you people, specifically Houston sports fans, wanted. And then on top of that, for me. Look, it was a reach to compare Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady. He is off to an incredible start, and there's still plenty of his career left. But at least catch Montana first before we start making the Tom Brady comparisons. In his 10 Super Bowls, Tom Brady's touchdown-to-interception ratio is 21-6. Patrick Mahomes is 7-7 in the five Super Bowls that he's been in thus far. He has lost by multiple scores, multiple times. Can we at least get one more Super Bowl victory by Patrick Mahomes before we even leapfrog Joe Montana and start comparing Brady to him?
Yes. I don't know why the GOAT conversations, when people feel the need to have them, we skip people. I feel like we did that with Kobe for LeBron. Not that it wasn't deserving very quickly.
Recency bias, but with Kobe, at least it was semi-recent for the MJ versus Kobe, then MJ versus LeBron talk.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, but this one, like we spent how long talking about and hearing about Joe Montana versus Brady? It took how long for people to finally hand over that torch to Brady? And then Mahomes just got to skip all the Montana conversation, and it just became the Brady one. Look, Brady's now 2-0 against Mahomes in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl. He's 40 years old when he did it.
He's 3-0 now because he called that game.
That's
and
true.
Basically, he observed it. He was in the stadium, and Mahomes was so bad. I think that's another Super Bowl for Tom Brady.
I think it is, too. Now, he wasn't great last night, I will say. I didn't enjoy Tom.
I did. Again, as I always say, like, you guys just don't understand his greatness. And it's fine. It's fine. You'll never get there. So you just have to accept it.
Yes, he's going to be there for a long time. Like, he's not going anywhere.
I mean, look, I'll even admit it. I say that jokingly. I
he's
hope
not
everyone
great.
Knows that. It's not great.
He's not.
He had a nice. I liked his zinger talking about, like, you know, Patrick Mahomes is in a haze like some of the people out on Bourbon Street right now. And I was like, yeah, that's so true. Tom, yes. you, Tom, that was a zinger.
He had a couple good moments, but he's not great. But again, it doesn't really matter because it's not like it made me turn the game off of Tom Brady talking. But yes, I think that does count as a victory. As Nick Foles said, Tom Brady is a good luck charm for the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowls. Because now the Eagles are 2-0 when Tom Brady's at the Super Bowl.
That's true,
the
too.
Being there.
So. Well, actually, technically 2-1.
Oh, that's right.
Lost Super Bowl 39.
I forgot that was
I did wish my family well, and I have not checked in on them on social media because I imagine the Bird fan side of my family, half of my family is from Philadelphia, are going to be very loud over the next couple of days.
Maybe not this morning, though. They might be hurting today.
Yeah, I would think so. And we do have to check in to make sure Philly still exists. I saw a couple of images from the Philadelphia celebration. I saw someone lighting Kermit the Frog on fire in the middle of the street.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw some just fireworks being launched in a way that I'm surprised no one lost a hand, because remember we saw that Dodgers fan lose his hand after the Dodgers won the World Series a couple of months ago, right in the middle of the street. But we'll keep you posted on all of that. You want to weigh in on the Super Bowl, which I think was a great one. Football is always great, but this Super Bowl in particular was very satisfying for me. Was it satisfying for you? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. We've also got to talk about the halftime show, because honestly, if we're talking about competition, the discourse last night about said halftime show was far more competitive than the actual Super Bowl. You want to weigh in on that? You can. Stick around. It's Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Thoughts on the Super Bowl from texters who agree with us about how that game was actually pretty enjoyable. If you like to watch the Chiefs get their faces rubbed in it, the dirt, Patrick Mahomes get the hell beat out of them, and to finally see a Houston quarterback win a Super Bowl. I hate the NFL, writes one texter, but I loved seeing Mahomes get nationally embarrassed and watching my daughter cry because Kelsey lost. Perfect ending to the NFL. Yo, that's Kelsey. Fair. Kelsey looked miserable that entire game.
He looks slow and washed. Watch, maybe Travis Kelsey will make an appearance on Wednesday on the wash list. He was not good. The whole retirement thing, I feel like it's out the window now. I feel like you can't retire on that note. That's a really sucky way to go out, to lose that way and to walk away from the NFL. Because it definitely feels like he was walking away if they won that game. Based on everything we were hearing before the game, like Ian Rapoport's like, well, he's not so sure. The results of the game might influence his decision. You can't walk away like this. You can lose the Super Bowl and walk away, but not like this.
You also can't propose like this. So luckily that was nipped in the bud, as the kids say. Taylor Swift got booed.
Yeah, we didn't see her a lot on TV since he didn't do anything.
Right. There were more, I think, shots of her from the crowd and, of course, on the Jumbotron. From when she got booed. The reason she got booed, a lot of people were like, why are they booing Taylor Swift? Because they're Eagles fans.
Yeah, Eagles,
what do you think they're going to do?
They threw batteries at Santa Claus.
Also, in Eagles fans' defense, at a concert like 2 years ago, she sang about how she's an Eagles fan.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Well, she's not an Eagles fan anymore.
Right, exactly. And again, I get it. She's dating somebody that does not play for the Philadelphia Eagles. And of course, she's going to root for the Chiefs over everyone. Philip 68 says, I loved every single minute of the game last night. Another texter says, why are the Chiefs allergic to the run? At least the Texans would have run the ball. They probably wouldn't have gotten anything. But yeah, they definitely would have run the ball on second down a lot. And CJ Stroud would have had a bunch of third and 15s running for his life from a four-man rush.
And getting annihilated. Can you imagine Juice Scruggs out there last night? Or Kenyon Green or any of the other combination of guys? They would have got worked. The Chiefs have a good offensive line. So obviously it's not great. But it's good.
Yeah.
But they got – CJ Stroud would have been sacked 12 times last night.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he was sacked 8 times in, what, 2 games this year?
They would have set an NFL record.
Yeah.
With four men rushing.
Yes, it would have been an absolute ass kick.
They might have gotten bored after a while and said, like, hey, what happens if we blitz?
What if we send 2 guys?
Yeah. Yeah, one rusher the whole time. 5-on-1, and they still end up losing. the halftime show last night, Kendrick Lamar. So I'm going to preface everything I say by this. I'm a white man and I have privilege. And apparently I have to say that to talk about a hip-hop artist who gave a performance that ultimately I think was all about him and his beef with Drake. Now, I don't know much about Kendrick Lamar. That's not to say I don't like him. It's not to say I like him. Really don't know much. What I do understand about Kendrick Lamar is that he's supposedly one of the best lyricists that there is. And I think one of the frustrating things about just the acoustics of any live concert is that it was a little bit difficult to make out what he was saying. Some people were saying, oh, he was mumbling out there. I don't know if it was that as much as the background music plus him rapping live. The acoustics, I just don't think, added themselves out. So if you like Kendrick Lamar going into last night's halftime show, you're going to love what you saw. Mm-hmm. If you've never seen Kendrick Lamar before, and I count myself in that crew, you're going to be like, huh? Now, I knew that they were going to do the Not Like Us song at the very end, which is the song where basically Kendrick Lamar actually calls Drake a pedophile. And the whole concert seemed to be building up to that song. And they teased it a couple of times. And then they eventually got into it, and Samuel L. Jackson was there. And look, if you don't like Drake, that song's pretty funny.
Yes.
It is pretty crazy that everyone sings along to that one little lyric where everyone says, a minor. I thought that Kendrick kind of... I think Kendrick could have gone all in and actually called him a pedophile. He didn't. I'm assuming lawyers would have been had there. But ultimately, I walk away from that halftime show, Joe, of somebody who's never seen Kendrick Lamar, like, not thinking to myself, yeah, I need to see more Kendrick Lamar. I'm not saying it was bad. I just know it wasn't for me. And I'm annoyed with the amount of people that are online that are saying, like, oh, you're just a stupid white. You white. You dumb old white. Like, I don't know. Put subtitles on the screen. If you put subtitles on the screen, I think I would have enjoyed it. I'd love to appreciate his lyrical mastery, as everyone describes it. But no, you're just a white.
I also enjoyed the fact that he did bring Drake's ex-girlfriend up there to Crip Walk during the show. Didn't realize Serena Williams dated Drake.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What?
That's why she was there.
Okay, because that was the surprise of the concert.
Yeah, her and Samuel L. Jackson were the surprise.
I remember.
I guess in SZA.
There was like 2 seconds of Serena Williams. I saw her and I'm thinking to myself, is that Serena Williams?
Yeah, me
I
too.
I don't want to be racist and say, like, is that? And, like,
I was a little worried. I was like, that looks like Serena Williams. And I was like, I'm not going to tweet that just in case it's not. But, yeah, so that was kind of funny to learn that after. I guess I'm somewhere in the middle. Like, I like some of Kendrick's music, not all of it. I just still didn't enjoy it. Like, I didn't think it was great because it felt like it was for him and for him only. If any concert, like, just to go with it here. If Eminem would have done the Super Bowl in 2001 and made the entire thing about his diss track towards Michael Jackson and Pee Wee Herman and all of them, and it was all around that one thing, then we all would have said the same thing then. I was like, it's like you're focused on a diss instead of just like a concert. So if you're all about it and you want to hate Drake, you probably loved it. I think it's hilarious to see the extreme reactions. I think I saw like Ari Alexander say it's like the best halftime show ever. What planet do you live on? And then I saw Landry say it's the worst concert halftime show he's ever seen. Also, what planet do you live on? Did you forget about the Black Eyed Peas?
Oh my God. Like, Black Eyed Peas. Like, people forget, you know, when Fergie ruined the national anthem, that actually isn't the worst thing that Fergie's done in front of the entire country. The Black Eyed Peas, they were so off tune that entire concert. Yeah. What year was that?
I don't remember. It was like early 2010s.
Yeah. It was like 2011 probably.
Okay.
2012 range.
Yeah, that was an abomination. That one.
Yeah.
This was specifically for Kendrick Lamar fans, and Kendrick Lamar has some really diehard fans. And hey, listen, all power to you. I bet you loved it. I was just like, I've never heard his stuff before, and this isn't making me come back for it.
He also didn't. He did a lot of new stuff too.
Oh, It wasn't all old stuff.
Yeah.
He can get his album out.
Yeah. So it was like probably half new stuff, half the whatever older hits that he did, where I was like, I'm surprised he's doing Humble. Like, I feel like he would have already done this at some point. Like, he would want to, you know, move on. But it is a weird spot when it is like a current artist that they can't just do like greatest hits like old artists could. Like Usher last year could just do like, well, here's my greatest hits, there you go. Where if it's a current artist who had like the biggest song of the year last year, it's like, well, I'm going to do some of the big stuff. Like, I'm going to do the recent stuff, too.
And I always feel like that's like if you go to a concert and the artist you go see puts out a new album, even though like you might like the new album, it's not really what you want to hear.
Yeah, you want to hear the hits.
Yeah.
You know?
Like you want the best of the best stuff. And it feels like even for Kendrick fans, like that's not what they got.
From the 832, I'm not saying that Kendrick was good, but out of curiosity, which Super Bowl halftime show have you enjoyed ever? That is a good question because I don't watch it for the halftime show.
When we brought up the Black Eyed Peas, that's where I'm like, I am such an easy grader because growing up, it was all like Black Eyed Peas and Rolling Stones.
And a bunch of old bands, right.
Yeah, like the Springsteen one where I'm like, I'm sure people are liking this. It's like the shoes on the other foot where growing up, I was like, these are not songs I've ever heard.
A third of the country's watching. That's why they were rolling out the old guys for such a long period of time.
And because they don't want to risk another Janet Jackson.
That too. Right.
They played it very safe for a while.
I could have enjoyed that halftime show. I didn't watch it, though, because I was playing pickup basketball in the backyard with a couple of other 14-year-old boys that were my age. And I think all the parents were so thankful that we didn't see it. Because we didn't even know until the next day. Everyone was talking about it at school. Janet Jackson's boobie coming out. Here's another text, this one a little bit more agitated, and I knew this was going to come. Paul, why hate on the Super Bowl halftime show? I know you wanted Kid Rock, sorry. See, that's a little racism there. I don't like Kid Rock. But give Kendrick some love. That was a good show, and he killed Drake. Well, yeah, he killed Drake. You're just mad because you're not like us, you bleach blonde cracker. I can say that. I'm half white. I don't know what that means. It's kind of funny, but like, If I wanted dream halftime show, especially if I'm there in person, I would have wanted it to be the Foo Fighters. Because the Foo Fighters, as a concert-playing band, is fantastic. But, look, all I'm saying is Kendrick Lamar is clearly for a very specific group of people who love him. Not to say he doesn't deserve an opportunity because of that, but it's a very niche audience to be doing in front of 100 million people.
It's also very interesting to be doing. Like, I was trying to think about it. We're talking about, like, this is probably the first time where someone had the number one song last year and is doing the Super Bowl show. Like, where it is, like, so current of the moment. Where normally it is guys that are, if not, like, full-on old rockers, it's like Rihanna, who hasn't put out anything new in almost a decade. Like, it is normally, there's some distance to the hits to where it becomes like more ubiquitous to where now it's like, you know, not like us. Everyone kind of knows it. And the other songs off the most recent album, people are like, haven't really heard this one.
Right. It's a little nostalgia play. And I've said before the Super Bowl, I had never heard Not Like Us. I know the background music because we play it sometimes coming into segments.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And
I do like that he teased it. That was very funny. Yeah. To be like, yeah, I don't know. They might sue me.
I was affected a couple of times. I was like, wait, is he not going to play it? And I mean, hey, that's a win. So I'm not even saying it's bad. I'm just like, it's whatever.
Yeah, I think
can't we say that?
No, you can't. No, you cannot say it. Yeah. It is not. Is neither the best or worst halftime show possible.
I gotta have
because every year people say, I'm just glad the Super Bowl was in a close game because that's my biggest pet peeve is after every Super Bowl that's like somewhat close. Is this the greatest Super Bowl of all time? It's like no, there's been like 75 better ones. Like there's been so many good Super Bowls that just any close game isn't one of them.
Can I sound like a pig for a second?
Oh, sure. Go for it.
All right. Would have been nice to see a little more women up on stage. No?
There's a lot of dudes.
The men dancers?
There's a lot of guys.
Yeah,
like men dancers?
Yeah.
Like a lot of guys, including even the Palestine guy. At least that guy stood out.
Yeah.
You know, pro-Palestine dancer.
I did have a thought at one point. I was like, you know, I think Kendrick Lamar deserves a little bit of credit for clearly not caring how tall his dancers are. Because there's a lot
he's short.
There's a lot of performers where it's like, no, they all have to be like my size or lower, so I don't look tiny. He was doing it next to like 6 foot tall guys. He looked itty bitty.
He was small. He was small out there. I pointed that out, and a bunch of people said you're small too. And I was like, well, not that small. I might lie on my license and say I'm 6 feet tall, but I'm not that small.
Apparently he's 5'8". I'm not sure.
No, he's like 5'6".
Okay, someone that's 5'6". I'm saying, yeah. I feel like
he's about your size.
Joe, you could post his ass.
Me, Kendrick.
Yeah, Altuve. You definitely. You could take him on the wall block.
You got the size.
Doing up and under.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can get there.
Little elbow.
Baby, boom, boom. Baby hook. Yeah.
You not like me, bitch. Yeah. Anyway. So that's the halftime show. Embrace debate. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. The halftime show was
Yeah. Greatest show ever? Worst show ever? Middle 57 ever?
Halftime show was middle 57 ever. No show in town has the balls to say that. Now, there are some shows in town that have the balls to put on fake Stephon Diggs. I don't know, like the flagship station. And that's balls. You know, when you're trying to make a name for yourself and you got a Super Bowl ad, you really want to be, I think, making people talk about you.
Yeah.
And sadly, we didn't get that. We didn't pull that off, but...
Steph Diggs is not joining us today?
Well, so here's the thing. Okay. I was online and I was looking to see if I could book Stephon Diggs. And you guys know I don't see color, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Respect, you know, I have privilege, but I'm unprivileged from that perspective. I don't see color. I thought Kendrick Lamar was white until last night. And then that was because a couple of my friends nudged me and told me, hey, Paul, like, do you understand what this song's about? It's about how Kendrick Lamar's singing about how Drake's not really black. And on top of that, how he's a pedophile.
Mm.
And then I was like, oh, interesting. Why? I thought Kendrick Lamar was white. And they were like, no, actually, he's black. And he's talking about how Drake's not black. And I was like, okay. So then I wanted to get Stephon Diggs because clearly Stephon Diggs is doing interviews. I thought he was off the grid. And then I went online and I had it booked. And I ran it by the people at the top of the food chain here, Joe. Didn't go middle management. Went upper management here. And I was like, hey, can we get on Stephon Diggs? There's a fee. There's a finder's fee. It's $10,000. It seemed legit, right? And I got an email back from the shadowy upper management figures. And they told me, Paul, that is a 52-year-old white woman. And I was like, damn, I didn't know. I didn't know. Her name is actually like Karen Schlossnagel. Not related to Jim Schlossnagel. And... I'm sorry, but hey, we didn't have a disaster happen on Radio Row right before a radio commercial featuring our show went on the Super Bowl. So, yeah. Hey.
If only there's a lawyer we could
W
reach out
for
to.
Us.
Right, exactly. W for us on top of that. If you want to weigh in on the Super Bowl, if you want to weigh in on the halftime show, and you want to weigh in on interviews that clearly showed the station that's our competitor thinks all black people look alike. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. They not like us. They not like Diggs. Stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Super Bowl lit in the books. Chiefs 40, Eagles 22. Wait, what? God, I can't read. I'm reading the scoreboard on the TV screen right here, and I just got super dyslexic. Eagles 40, Chiefs 22.
Okay. No three-peat.
I'm just confusing scores. I'm not confusing black people.
Maybe like, it was the flagship. The score bug.
The score bug, it could have been.
It was pretty terrible.
So I didn't know it was called a score bug until yesterday.
Really?
I just figured it was just the score, but it's a score bug.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were talking about it. I actually liked it. I think it was clean, simple.
I think it's going to be a little bit smaller.
I think smaller, and we got to work on the fonts, guys. It can't be just Times New Roman or whatever that was. Just,
I was cool with it. I was cool with it. It was simple.
Throw some logos on
it's
there.
Clean. I don't think it was that big of a deal. We do have some comments about the halftime show. Come on, man. He's not talking about how Drake's not black. He's talking about how Drake is not hood. Oh, he ain't from the hood. Kendrick is from Compton. Has Compton been gentrified yet? Serious question. Because I know where I grew up in Massachusetts, south, it used to be the tough part of town. And now houses are going for $1 million in Southie.
I don't know if they've gotten to Compton
yet.
Yeah,
I don't think they've got that far yet.
Okay. They might now because half of L.A. burned down.
Yeah.
Might be next.
True.
Very true.
might be some real next. Estate.
Real estate, man. That's what this thing's all about. The actual halftime show itself. It's okay to not have loved it. It's okay to not have hated it either. It's okay, guys. What would I have liked to see? Prince, someone brought him up. I wouldn't have minded seeing Weird Al, but I'm weird. I own it.
Weird Al as a halftime show would be...
It'd be great.
Something. It would be something.
It would be great.
Like, what? Like Weird Al doing like his version of Not Like Us. I don't know who he's dissing.
It's been a while since I think he's put out a new parody song.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's done anything in a long
not like,
time.
Yeah.
But like.
Not like Gus.
Not like Gus. Not like Gus would be good. That'd be good. I think you're right about Lil Wayne, like, and some of the people in the Twitch. And
Lil Wayne would have been awesome.
Like, having someone that, like, identifies with the city where the Super Bowl is being hosted seems like a no-brainer to me. But
I actually don't like Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne has some. It's a little bit of. You're signing him up to kind of be Lee Corso or Terry Bradshaw a little bit, where he doesn't really have the fastball.
Oh, live got it.
You know, doing drugs for 20 years, as it turns out, affects your brain. It really does. Okay. He did WrestleMania last year.
Oh, that's right. It was not good. You're right. I forgot about that.
He like doesn't know the words to his own songs.
Yeah. That's so a lot of people want Metallica next year because that's San Francisco. I don't think we'll ever see like Metallica doing a halftime.
No, because they have to do it for free, and I don't think they're. Yeah. I don't think they're like.
Oh yeah,
they're not doing it for.
They're the ones that were bitching and moaning about illegally downloaded music first, yeah. Mm-hmm. From what I remember.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing too. I mean, this is run by Jay-Z because Jay-Z is basically the NFL's entertainment czar, so he's the one in charge of putting this on, and it shouldn't be a coincidence that the last five Super Bowl halftime shows have been hip hop, which is driving some people super crazy. I'm talking about the right. Leaning folks. I saw a lot of people online who are either working at Fox News or aspiring to be at Fox News mm-hmm. who are going all in with it, like, oh, we've got one last DEI halftime show.
Yeah.
I was like, look, they picked it. I get it. He has won a lot of awards, but at the same time, I don't think he's as popular as some of the other people who have done this halftime show across a broad audience. And that might also just be a reflection of where music is these days, where there's a lot more artists and a lot more ways to, consume music.
Yeah, I mean, look, we saw in one of the commercials last night, we saw a guy who became famous off of basically TikTok. Shaboozy was doing a Nerds commercial last night. I mean, a lot of people, artists are created off TikTok now. They're not created off radio like they used to be. So, I don't know. Kendrick was fine. I'm not surprised. When most people don't like it, I'm not surprised who they are. Of people that don't like Kendrick Lamar. It's not shocking. Of who didn't like the concert.
If we're being honest, and that diss of Drake is great, but wouldn't Drake have been better?
I don't know. I feel like he's kind of done now.
Because of the song?
Yeah, it feels like it's kind of ruined
him. Thing is, Drake would also have done new stuff. That's the problem.
You wouldn't have just done those.
Yeah,
hits.
The one that the Drake concert in your head where he just does the 10 best Drake songs, that would be good. But he would also be like, oh, here's something off my last album. You're like, all right, I'm a good guy.
And he would have done his diss back to Kendrick, which no one knows.
This would have happened in the alternate world where he won the beef.
Gotcha, okay.
Honestly, if he would have won the beef, it probably would have been Drake last night. But he lost by a lot.
They should do that every year. Make it you have to compete. For your way into
that
the
would be cool.
Halftime show.
I love that. A reality
you have
TV
to earn
show.
You have to earn the halftime show.
From the 832, AR says houses in Compton are up in the 600,000 range for 900 square feet.
Oh, wow.
It's insane. That's a California reflection. Key from LA says Compton is still Compton though. Okay. That
two
sounds like something. That sounds like something someone from LA would say because you got to have that street cred.
I believe Key in LA more than. What looked like it was just a Zillow Google. And I think Key is a driver in LA, so I'm sure he's driven through Compton.
From the 281, Drake at the Bun B Rodeo last year wasn't very good. They say he's not a live performer. Well, here's the other thing, too, and this kind of goes back to my big issue with Kendrick Lamar is I wish I could have read what he was saying because I think I would have appreciated it a lot more. I know he's a good lyricist. I'm not a musical expert by any means, but if I had seen what he was saying, because acoustics are just difficult live. I really do think it would have been better. And I don't know if Fox wants to put that on the air.
It would have been very funny. But
that would have helped me out at the very least. Someone who wanted to enjoy the halftime show.
It has the little bouncing ball when it's karaoke.
Sing along. Yeah, seriously, though.
Certified lover boy, certified pedophile. America, you can sing it.
From the 409, old JC could be in concert. People would complain. They complain about the halftime show every year. That's true. But again, this was more competitive, the debate online, than the actual game. And that's why we're talking about it right now. I would have preferred to talk about the game a little bit, but I see that this is a conversational piece for the people.
Well, the game didn't help. No. I mean, if the game was a little more, if the Chiefs would have held up their end of the bargain of making it a competitive football game, we probably would have done this at like a 45.
But this game was awesome. Don't get it twisted. I understand a lot of people are like, it was a blowout. No, you have to appreciate these games when they turn into this for what they are. It is awesome to watch a quarterback who is considered to be the best of the game get absolutely smoked, especially to stop a three-peat. It's fun. It's fun to see the best get dragged back down to the rest of us in super embarrassing fashion.
Well, when like was the everyone wanted.
Yeah. When was the point where you're like, Chiefs have no chance?
I think the pick six.
I was going to say, I think the pick six was like, and I think that was only
17-0.
I was going to say, that was only 17-0, but they couldn't block anybody. He's, like, every play was the same.
Because he throws it, I almost said Schaub. Mahomes throws a pick six.
Same thing.
Then he throws the interception to Bond. When he threw the interception to Bond, the next throw, that's where I started thinking to myself, okay, Philly might run away with this. Still, even in the second half, it took me a little bit of time. And once Hurts hit Devontae Smith for that long touchdown, that's where I said, okay, this one's done. Because I do respect the Chiefs enough to think that they had a chance to get back into it and figure it out. But clearly, watch it back. There was never a moment in time where it seemed like they had a shot.
It's also just like, this is like a soft factor, but it's like just the body language. Like, they look dazed out there.
Kelsey's like, especially. Travis Kelce, more than anyone out there, looked like he didn't want to be out there. And he had a couple of drops, so I don't blame him
The
for
Hopkins
that.
Drop was really bad.
Oh, God, the Hopkins drop. Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I mean, that wasn't a great throw, but it's something
it was right there.
Yeah,
it was like, so used to seeing
it was
DeAndre
like a B minus throw. It was like you should catch that.
I mean, we saw Chris Jones' reaction on the sidelines; like it was like falling to his knees.
I also didn't love, and this was like 7-0 when they did the tush push, and he was lined up sideways, and then like checking his neck. I was like, I bet that's why your neck hurts, dude. You lined up sideways on the tush push.
I definitely knew it wasn't over when Amenihu was crying on the sidelines.
Yep,
like a child.
When was that? That was like third quarter.
I think it was the third quarter. I think it might have been after the Devontae touchdown.
Texans legend?
Yeah, no.
Talks a lot of trash and then cries when he's losing a football game.
So no Texans Super Bowl parade for DeAndre Hopkins. He did talk to Cal and Hannah before the game.
Maybe the most surprising part of the whole game.
That Cal and Hannah were there?
That DeAndre was like chummy with them and giving the kids, the grandkids, gloves and things like that. Wouldn't have been on my bingo card of things to see before the game of the McNair family and DeAndre chopping it up.
No parade for Justin Reed. No parade for Charles Omenihu. But a parade for Jalen Hurts is deserved. Channelview, make it happen. And who's the mayor now? John Whitmire? Key to the city for Jalen Hurts. We might never see a Houston quarterback win a Super Bowl.
But Jalen did.
I know, Joe, you think that C.J. Stroud is going to win on the rookie contract. I don't know. There's a chance that there's never a Houston quarterback that wins a Super Bowl. There's an asteroid that is having a slightly more and more chance of hitting us by the week. It's gone up from 0% to 1% to 2% in 2 weeks.
Yeah. That's in 2032?
It's 2032. We got a lot of time.
That's a lot of weeks.
That's a lot of weeks.
It's going to be like 300% by then.
We still got a couple Super Bowls.
It's the size of a football field.
Texans in that Super Bowl when it hits?
Yeah.
At halftime?
Taylor Swift doing the halftime show.
So we might only have like 8 years left. And if we only have 8 years left or so, 7 years left, then I mean, they got to make it happen. So Jalen Hurts Super Bowl parade. I think we should make it happen. Philadelphia, did they survive the night? The Houston Rockets, did they survive their trip to Dallas with death threats against everyone in the Mavericks organization? We'll discuss. Stay put.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Eagles are Super Bowl champs. 40-22 last night in NOLA, though it was 40-6 with about 8 minutes to play. Some garbage time stats and numbies for Patrick Mahomes, Xavier Worthy. I think there was a moment in that game where Mahomes had 61 yards passing and 2 interceptions entering the fourth. Yikes.
He was terrible.
He had like 40 yards at halftime.
Was he terrible or was the Eagles' defense amazing?
I think he was bad. I mean, he was missing open guys. I think the Eagles' defense was amazing.
I'll give more credit to the Eagles' defense.
Yeah, I do agree. But as you said in the first segment, Patrick Mahomes, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in Super Bowls. It's not a great ratio. And now some of those touchdowns are garbage time touchdowns. So he doesn't perform his best in these big games, it seems.
He also was definitely worse than the last time we saw this in the Super Bowl with the Chiefs obviously having no chance blocking the other team. Like, the Bucks Super Bowl is what good Patrick Mahomes running for his life looks like. This was obviously a step down.
I agree with you completely there. It did feel different because you were still saying, whoa, at stuff Mahomes was doing against the Bucks. I don't think we had more than one moment like that. And it was when Mahomes did that figure eight looping back to the left, then rolling back across the field to the right, where he got hit and people thought he got a concussion. That was the only play I was like, whoa, Mahomes. And I don't even know if the ball got to a Chiefs.
No, it was deflected. Right. It was a PBU.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that first possession, like, he nearly threw a pick on third down. Mm-hmm. Like, or I guess it was that play. He just wasn't great, but it's mostly credit to Vic Fangio and the Eagles defense. Like, they got after Mahomes the entire game. I know we all originally disagreed with the Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year awards, but in the playoffs, Quinyon Mitchell had his 2 interceptions. Cooper DeJean had his first career pick six, first career interception in the NFL, and a pick six in this game. Like,
great
they had
day.
Two rookie corners, like, locked down the Chiefs.
I'm bringing up Cooper DeJean and his pick six. I'm bringing that up
at tonight?
My flag football game tonight. Hey, guys, let me play corner.
If Cooper can
Didn't
do
I
it.
Did I tell you that? I was like, I hey, if it. He has a big game. Like,
big, this is a big day
that's,
for me.
That's good for you.
For my flag football team where I'm being discriminated against because I don't see color, but apparently I might be the only white guy out there.
I mean, you might just need to buy a Cooper DeJean jersey and wear it to the game.
Hope they think it's him.
Like, maybe buy the Iowa jersey.
Before we get into the Rockets weekend, River has a thought on the halftime show. River, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Yo.
I know there's certain things Paul doesn't want me to discuss. Joe doesn't want me to discuss. So I'll stay out of that. But there's so many hidden things in that halftime show that I think y'all missed. First off, when he had SZA on there, that was another Drake ex-girlfriend, and she was a minor when he went out with her.
Okay.
People were saying that that necklace he was wearing had a little A on it, a little
TA,
and that's referring to A minor as well.
No, I saw that, River. I'm sorry. I'm not here to look for Easter eggs. It's cool and all, but like I don't really care about the inside jokes that he has, you know? Like, I want something that plays to everybody. You got to play the hits out there. And this is not me saying that he was bad out there. I just, like, the Easter eggs, like, sorry, missed me with that. I'm completely uninterested in that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I didn't understand some of the stuff that, I mean, I'm not a big Kendrick Lamar fan. I just like the diss track. But, yeah, I agree with you. Some of the music was iffy, but he just put so much thought into it.
Clearly.
And the last thing is I didn't even realize that the stage was set up like a PS3 controller. I didn't even realize that little triangle circle thing. There's a lot of stuff he hid in there, and so that part was kind of cool.
All right. Well,
so I think you got to give him credit for showmanship, even if you don't like the music.
I guess, River. I've seen better showmanship. Like, you know what was better showmanship? Jennifer Lopez literally just existing, and then Shakira coming up and joining. We're talking about showmanship. Sorry, I don't want to see a bunch of dudes dancing. Call me homophobic or call me just a pervy old man, which I am, but I'm sorry. Like, the showmanship side of it, I didn't really feel like I got a lot. I just got, like, Kendrick Lamar, a little short guy, dancing around doing a diss track on Drake, which everyone knew about, and now he got to do it on national TV in front of 100 million people.
There was a cool car on the stage.
Yeah. GNX.
The clown car? Yeah, whatever. Okay. Rockets played 2 games over the weekend.
They did.
They played the Dallas Mavericks on Saturday, and while they lost this game, and Anthony Davis injured his groin in said game, which is kind of funny, we got to talk about how the Rockets survived their trip to Dallas, because it was dangerous.
Yeah.
On Friday, after we got off the air, Tim McMahon of ESPN put together this package where essentially he was talking about how the Mavericks now are bringing in Secret Service style security to their arena to protect Nico Harrison.
Yeah, but there was no real threats.
Well, there might have been. I don't know.
The police department says that there was no reported threats.
They barricaded the Dirk statue.
Yes.
They've torn down the Dirk statue.
Which,
that would have been so funny.
They would never do that.
It would have been so funny if they tore down the Dirk statue. There were barricades around that. There were barricades around the entirety of the place. And there were some great, I thought, protesting chants that broke out. My favorite one was this one that described Luka Doncic's appearance and one of the rumors that led to him being traded to L.A. He's not fat. Bring him back.
Well, he's not coming back, guys. This ain't the Mark Williams trade that got rescinded over the weekend. He ain't coming back to Dallas.
That's one of the best chants I've ever heard.
It is great. He's not fat. Bring him back. Man, Nico Harrison. The fact that Anthony Davis might be out for the entire year already after getting him plays less than a half of basketball for you. You trade Luka because he's fat, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy that's always injured. And he gets injured in his first game, doing nothing, nothing on that play.
Yeah, it is funny. It is like the microcosm of like, well, Luka might at one point start breaking down, so let's trade him for a guy who is breaking down currently as we speak.
They finally won on Sunday, the Rockets, just to bring it back to them. No Fred VanVleet in that game either. So they finally got a win with Fred off the court. 1-5 on the year without him. And I guess, what are they, 4-11 without him the last two seasons? I'm hoping we can just point at that, and that's why they've been struggling. It's why they lost 6 in a row going into Sunday before beating Toronto. I saw Christopher Soriano on YouTube say, is Ime Udoka at fault for all the Rockets' poor play of late? I don't know about that. Perhaps the Rockets' play style and all these back-to-backs that they have on the schedule lends itself to these guys being a little more tired, but no, there are moments where it does feel like they're out of shape, where they don't have the energy, and maybe this is partly on Ime Udoka and the intensity with which he coaches, sort of like how that happened with Tom Thibodeau in previous destinations for him as a coach.
Yeah, I mean, when like Amen Thompson and these guys are playing 40 minutes every game, like I guess there is an argument to be had. I mean, like, yeah, they won yesterday, but like barely. I mean, they didn't score more than 22 points in a quarter until the fourth. They scored 18, 19, 21 points. If they played any competitive basketball team in the NBA, they would have lost by 25 yesterday. Like they were pretty terrible until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I about the fatigue thing, they are at a really weird part of the schedule, and I think we noticed it earlier, where they played like 8 different games in 8 different cities, because they basically had a road trip and then one game in Houston and then another road trip and a few back-to-backs, but you know, with some of these games, it's not that. Even on the first leg of the back-to-back against Minnesota, and Minnesota was on a back-to-back, the Rockets ran out of gas. So I think some of it is like just a schedule thing. It's not like schedule losses, but it is like specifically how they're running out of steam with missing 2 starters or 3 starters for most of yesterday's game because Şengün went out early. So it is a little bit of like your depth is getting tested and also you're having to play so much right before the break.
Yeah, you have, you know, if your next 9 games, I think 8 of them are part of back-to-backs.
Yep.
So like you're playing a ton of back-to-backs. So like it's not going to get any better. Yes, you play Wednesday, Thursday, and then you're off until the 21st, but you come out of the All-Star break playing the 21st, the 22nd, the 25th, the 26th. Then you have a couple days off. That's why I hate the NBA schedule. It's so dumb. They play another back-to-back, but then they don't play until Saturday. They play on a Tuesday and Wednesday, and then have 2 days off. Why?
Because they don't want Houston to win, John.
Yeah. They're screwing
us. They're just stupid.
Well, I think it's a little bit more complicated.
It's all because of the NBA Cup. Because they play 2 games in like 10 days.
Could be that. Could be.
It's a huge part of it.
Could be the rodeo. I don't know.
Yeah, they have to schedule around other events.
Because there's that San Antonio rodeo, right? Isn't that
they're on it right now.
Right now.
They don't play a home game until like March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just gone forever.
So they play 2 games in Austin. That's as close as they get.
There are some venue issues. But Rockets, they snapped the losing streak, and we'll see if they can stay in the top 4 seeds in the West going forward without Fred VanVleet. He's Joe. I'm Paul. We got Sean behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. So in case you guys didn't know, the flagship station for the Houston Texans, they have been canceled. They do not exist anymore. Unfortunately, they couldn't determine the difference between 2 black people. Do all black people look the same to the flagship, 713-780-3776. But since they no longer exist, we're going to give you the most flagship segment possible. What lessons can the Texans learn from Super Bowl LAX? We'll do it next. Stay put.